What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast, episode 75, Sports and Teeth, recorded March 28th, 2014. Our special guest today is Dr. Mark McGrath of Fairmont Dental Care. I am your host, Jeremy Jackson, and today with me is...
George.
Marlon.
Edith.
Brianna.
Jocelyn.
Marcia.
Lorena.
And then there's Dr. Mark McGrath. If you're watching live, you can use the hashtag TheSMB. So on Twitter, hashtag TheSMB, and Brianna will be able to pick those up. Actually, I don't think I set that up this time. So Brianna might not be able to see that, but George is on Twitter, so he'll be searching hashtag TheSMB. Or you can do directly to us, or you can email us, or you can use Ustream, Social Stream. So I forgot to set a couple of those up today. It's Friday. I got thrown off. SportsMedicineBroadcast.com has most of the ways you can get connected with us. We're live almost every single Wednesday and then some Fridays. We have another Friday coming up in April. We're going to talk to a orthopedic surgeon. So almost every Wednesday, SportsMedicineBroadcast.com. So about Dr. Mark McGrath, he is a family and cosmetic dentist, been practicing for over 30 years, and he's a member of American Dental Association, Texas Dental Association, Houston District Dental Society, and fellow of the Academy of General Dentistry. And then we were just recently talking, and both of his children now live in Austin with their spouses. They moved there from being away, and pretty interesting story, but I probably won't get to that because it doesn't have anything to do with anything we're talking about. So just throwing a little bit of extra personal information in there. Okay. We kind of skipped the warm-up for last couple of times, but George, when was the last time you went to the dentist?
Two weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, because your braces.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Marlon, last time you went to the dentist?
I don't remember.
So it's been a long time. Edith?
Last month.
Ali? Marissa?
A long time ago.
Lorena?
Like a week and a half ago.
Like a week and a half ago? Dealing with your braces or getting like your teeth clean?
Braces.
All right. All right, so Dr. McGrath, how often should these kids be going to the dentist?
They should go every 6 months.
Every 6 months.
Yep. Kids their age, in their age group, they're very susceptible to tooth decay and other problems. And so we recommend an exam and a cleaning every 6 months so that we can catch any problems early. Obviously, like most other things, the earlier you detect a problem, the easier it is to treat. In dentistry or the problems with the teeth, they only get worse as time goes by. So early detection is the key. So, yeah, 6 months for their age group is the ideal.
I would say I'd probably in the same boat. I would probably from about, I don't know, 16 or 18 until I was... Well, until I started coming to you, I didn't go to the dentist. I don't even know if I went once, maybe once. I think I had my wisdom teeth taken out when I was in college or something. But yeah, I didn't go to the dentist very often. So now Dr. Mark McGrath is my dentist, and I go there every 6 months, get the teeth cleaned and all that other stuff. So I think my teeth are a lot healthier now. I'm not tearing up my gums by scrubbing too hard and that kind of thing. But all right.
Mr. McGrath, please tell us who you are and what you do.
Well, I'm a general dentist. I practice general dentistry, just all phases of dentistry. I treat a wide age group from young children all the way up to octogenarians. In fact, I had a patient not long ago that celebrated her 100th birthday. Just all phases of dentistry. Not orthodontics, I don't do that. Some minor orthodontics, but full braces that I leave to the orthodontist. Everything else involving dentistry, restorations of teeth, extractions of teeth when necessary, of course, treatment of gums, and we do some cosmetic dentistry as well. And I sure enjoy that. That's one of the very rewarding aspects of my practice, and like I said, I've been doing it for almost 34 years now, and really enjoy it, still love it, and been a great profession.
All right, so why is cosmetic dentistry at first? Can you define that? And then why is that something that you enjoy so much?
Sure. That is making changes to the way the teeth look. Vary from just whitening the teeth to reshaping the teeth utilizing restorations, particularly ones we call veneers, porcelain veneers, to really create a smile makeover where we, say, close spaces that are between the teeth, make teeth that are slightly rotated or crowded appear even and straight. And just really create a beautiful smile for an individual in just a matter of a few weeks by placing those veneers on the teeth. And the reason it's rewarding is because you get sort of much great patient feedback. You know, they're always so pleased with the results that it's nice to get that back from the patients.
Okay.
What are some of your examples of dental emergencies?
A true emergency is defined as a problem that if it's not handled immediately or very quickly, then it's going to get worse. There are, you know, of course, a number of emergencies in dentistry. Obviously, toothaches will get worse typically over time, so those need to be treated as soon as possible. Swelling, of course, would be in that category. And any sudden unexplained bleeding from the oral cavity, of course, also would need to be looked at immediately. But I would say one of the real true emergencies that we have in dentistry is an injury to the teeth. And particularly a tooth that is what we call avulsed or totally knocked out. That is an emergency that time is of the utmost. And if that can be treated very quickly, the chances for success are very high. So that is what I would call one of the real true emergencies in dentistry.
All right, so talk about an avulsed tooth. What should we do there?
Okay. If a tooth is totally knocked out, the entire tooth, the root and all, then immediate reimplantation is the ideal thing to do. And I mean it just immediately back into the socket. Now, that could be very difficult to do because you are very likely dealing with an hysterical patient at that time. They've just, their tooth is knocked out, it's on the ground, you know, they're obviously in duress and a fair amount of pain, and so that might be difficult. But if possible, the long as the tooth is not extremely dirty, don't handle it any more than necessary. Handle it by the top of the tooth, what we call the crown of the tooth, and place it back in the socket immediately, and then, of course, get to a dentist. If it can't be replanted for whatever reason, then it should be, along with the patient, of course, transported to a dentist as soon as possible. The ideal place to keep the tooth on the way to the dentist is actually in the mouth, in the oral cavity, say between the cheek and the gums. That's going to keep it in the same environment that it normally is in. Now, if you have a young patient where, you know, there's a danger of maybe swallowing the tooth, or, they're not going to be able to do that, then you can transport it in milk if available. That's the next best thing. Saline would also be good. Any sort of, those would be the other two main things. Let's see, there is a Hank's sterile solution. I believe is what it's called. I might have to check on that. But I don't know if that's kept with the trainer equipment, but if that's available, that is also an ideal transport medium. But if replantation or if not, in the mouth on the way to the dentist.
All right, so we got a guy on the football field, tooth gets knocked out, lands in the dirt. You said handle it or as little as possible. So should I rinse it with water quickly and then stick it back in? Or
you could rinse it with some water or saline. If it's not too dirty, I wouldn't even do that, really. If it appears relatively clean, not a lot of debris on it, then place it back in there.
And just put it right back in there.
Right
and then,
back in the socket.
And then from there, would I call you and say, hey, Dr. McGrath, I got a dental emergency, or should I take...
Yes.
What would happen if I took him to the hospital, to the ER?
It would be best to see a dentist, because I'm afraid in the hospital ER, they wouldn't really know how to deal with that. If you can get to the dentist will, of course, examine the tooth, take an x-ray to see if there's any bone fracture, and then immediately splint the tooth to the adjacent teeth. That will keep it in place until it is able to reattach back into the bony socket. So that would be the ideal thing. If you can't get to a dentist, then that's your next best option, of course, would be an emergency room. But dentist would be ideal.
I didn't know that. That's interesting. I mean, I know we have stuff called Save a Tooth, and I'd heard milk before. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know that just keeping it in your mouth is actually better than keeping it in the milk.
Yeah, that'd be the best thing, just between the cheek and the gum. Keep it moist with the saliva.
So what if someone breaks like half a tooth, like the whole tooth isn't out? What if they break half a tooth? What do you do then?
Right, that's another one of the three kind of injuries that there are to teeth. There's, of course, fracture of the crown, which is the top of the tooth, the part we see, or fracture of the root. Then there's that avulsion, which is the tooth totally knocked out. And there's also luxation, where the tooth is displaced in its socket, but it's not knocked out. You're asking about a tooth that's broken. If the fragment can be retrieved, if it's relatively large, bring that along with the patient to the office. In a lot of cases, we can reattach, rebond that fragment back to the tooth, or at least it helps us determine how much tooth structure is missing and all. The tooth can break many different ways. It can be just a small portion of the tooth. Or it could be a much larger portion that involves the inner tooth structure that we call the dentin. It could even involve into the very center of the tooth where the pulp lies. The pulp is a pulpy tissue comprised of both nerve fibers as well as blood vessels. So you would see a red center in the tooth if it fractured all the way down to the pulp. That would be the worst sort of fracture that you could have.
And so, again, you said store that in the mouth if possible, and then...
That wouldn't be quite as important to do that fragment. The fragment would be okay if it was allowed to dry out. It still could. In some cases, like I say, it can be rebonded. It depends on the situation. It may not be able to, but if we had it, that would be helpful.
All right, so then we're kind of talking about, if we're talking about athletics, a lot of the games happen at 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 at night. And you guys close at 4 or 5 or 6, something like that. And then today you even close at noon, which is when most of our games happen, is on Friday.
Right.
What would be, because if you're saying don't take them to the ER, what do I need to find a 24-hour dentist that I have on call, or
that would be something you could look at. Myself personally, if it's a patient of mine. And they suffer an immediate dental emergency like that, I would make every effort to meet them at the office that evening or whenever it happened. Because, again, that is a true dental emergency, and it does need to be handled right away. So that's something I'm happy to do for my patients. So that's one of the reasons for establishing a dental home. So you do have a dentist that, if you have an emergency, that you can be able to see off hours, that we say.
All right, so a quick commercial for Fairmont Dental Care there. If you like watching movies or having massage chairs, so they got, when you go in there, you first in the waiting room, they have like cookies there. I'm not quite sure about that. We're going to have to discuss that. But they have like the Otis Spunkmeyer cookies and magazines and all sorts of, they give you bottled water, and then you go and you can sit in a massage chair and watch like Nemo or some movie there where you're getting your teeth worked on. It's a pretty good place. So if you don't have a dental home, I recommend Fairmont Dental Care because that's where I go. That's where Sarah goes. That's where we take Jonah, and that's where we'll take Sam. What's that?
I need a dental.
You need a dental home? It's right there. It's right here in Pasadena. So,
love to see you.
Except for, all right, so then there you go. We're talking about George. George said he's got braces. He went like 2 weeks ago because he got braces. Is that something that he can come to you to have his teeth cleaned, but then has to go to the orthodontist? Anything dealing with the braces?
That's right. Exactly. Yeah, we still need to see patients if they have braces on. Still can need to clean the teeth, and we can clean around the braces. That's not a problem. Some orthodontists, if you let them know that you're have an appointment to come see us to get your teeth cleaned, they can make arrangements to see you first and remove the arch wire, which helps us to be able to get around and clean the teeth. But it's not absolutely necessary. But we do have patients that do that. Of course, it means going to the orthodontist before seeing us. They remove the arch wire, then you come see us, then you have to go back to the orthodontist to get the arch wire put back on. But still important to have your teeth examined because the orthodontist is not looking for tooth decay or other problems, and to have your teeth cleaned because he's not doing that either.
Yeah, I did that once, and it was a lot of work because you had to go and then come back and go back.
Yeah, it is a lot of trips. And like I say, it's not absolutely necessary, but it does help a lot. So we do appreciate when patients do that. We don't demand that they do that, but we do like it when they do.
I've heard that with the advances in dentistry, it somewhat isn't worth the hassle to try to preserve an avulsed tooth. Is this true?
All right, so this actually comes from one of the other athletic trainers, from Jesse Lopez over at Dowie High School. So he threw this out there for us.
That's a very good question. I think, no, it's the best thing to do is to try to save the tooth, try to replant the tooth, even if the tooth is eventually lost. That's your natural tooth. You have that, even if it's several years. The cost to replace a tooth can be, several thousand dollars. That's something you can avoid if the tooth does reattach. And the chances are very high that it'll reattach. I didn't say this earlier, but if it can be replanted within 30 minutes of the avulsion, very good chance that the tooth will reattach to the socket and remain indefinitely in the oral cavity.
Sorry, not to cut you off, but replanted means just me putting Marissa's tooth back in her mouth.
That's what I mean, yes.
Okay.
Right, yeah.
And then reattaching is what you do.
Reattaching is the biological process by which the root of the tooth reattaches into the bony socket. The roots of our teeth are attached into our bone by a structure we call the periodontal ligament, and it is comprised of fibers that both go into the tooth and into the bone, and it sort of suspends our teeth and attaches our teeth into the bony socket. It's there as a little bit of shock absorber to absorb some of the shock, the forces of biting and chewing. That's why you can take hold of one of your teeth and you can sort of move it back and forth within that socket a little bit. So that's what I mean by the biologic process of reattaching, which can take several weeks to occur. Now, if the tooth is avulsed, the pulp of the tooth, the neurovascular bundle that enters the tooth at the end of the root, obviously that's severed. So the pulp within the tooth, if it's a mature tooth, is not likely to maintain its vitality or stay alive. So in a few weeks after the replantation, the tooth would need to have a root canal, where we clean out the dead pulp tissue from within the center of the tooth and then obliterate that canal space with a material that we use for that very purpose. So the tooth no longer has a vital pulp inside, but there's a high chance that it will, again, remain in the mouth for an indefinite period of time. Some teeth that are replanted after a number of years, they can undergo a resorption process, which could eventually result in loss of the tooth. But again, as I said earlier, you have that tooth for X number of years. If and when it is eventually lost, then it could be replaced at that time.
What should we look for if someone gets hit in the mouth?
Well, you want to look first for, of course, any damage into the soft tissue, the lips or the inside the lips, inside the cheek, and, of course, the tongue as well. That, you know, people, if they're injured, can sometimes bite into or even through the tongue. So, of course, look in there for bleeding coming from the soft tissue. And then the other thing to look for would, of course, be any damage to the teeth. Look for that. I mentioned earlier that other than breaking part of the tooth off or completely avulsing the tooth, the other injury that can occur is where a tooth is just displaced within its socket. It can be displaced either upwards or into the socket. It can be displaced laterally or out or inward let's see, it could also be displaced out, just straight outwards. So, and of all of those, of course, again, require immediate attention. If a tooth is displaced, you see it's obviously displaced. Again, if you can reposition it back into its proper position immediately, that's the thing to do. Because the longer it's left out of position, then the more difficult it is to treat. And do that. It may just require putting your finger on the top of the tooth, one say a thumb, and then the other finger up where the root would be, and then kind of popping it back into the socket. It's
I'm cringing over here.
Again, yeah. So again, you're maybe dealing with a upset patient, but that's the thing to do right away.
So if someone gets hit in the mouth and their tooth is pushed back a little further,
right,
then I should, with gloves on, kind of reach in there and try and straighten it out?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Right.
What are the chances that in me straightening it out, I pull it further forward?
That's not likely to happen. Almost impossible. Yeah.
All right. Anybody want to volunteer? Volunteer? All right.
Oh, no.
We just have a hands-on learning session right here. Marlon, George, you got to pop her in the mouth. All right. Well, I wouldn't have guessed that. It makes sense with the dislocated joint. Most of the doctors that I've heard, you know, they say put it back in place right away. Okay. It reduces the damage. So, the same thing. It's a tooth to jawbone joint. So you're going to put it back in place right away. So
Exactly. More chance of the tooth maintaining its vitality. Once it stays out of position, then swelling and inflammation is going to occur, and then it may not be able to be put back into position, and then later it may require orthodontics to reposition it back into the place. So popping it back into place is the thing to do.
All right, so then if I put it back in place and then they come see you within, 30 minutes or an hour, what are you going to do for it then?
Again, we're going to examine a tooth, and if it's extremely mobile or loose, we'll splint it using a light arch wire like a dental or an orthodontic arch wire. We'll splint it to the adjacent teeth to keep it, from moving too much so that it is able to, again, reestablish that that connection to the bony socket.
Have you ever dealt with a jaw fracture?
As a general dentist, that's not something I deal with very often. I have had a couple of patients that have undergone jaw fractures. Of course, that's a very serious problem. If it happens, that, of course, again, needs to be treated immediately. The old days, they used to wire the upper and lower jaws together to immobilize the usually it's the lower jaw that's fractured to immobilize it so that it's able to heal. My understanding that these days they will screw a plate into the two pieces and then they're held together that way, and that way the patient doesn't have to go for 6 weeks with their teeth wired together, where they have to blend everything up in a blender and drink everything through a straw. That's the only way they're able to eat, obviously, if they can't chew, open your mouth. A lot better these days with the surgical techniques that they have to deal with the fracture jaw.
So I know you said you're not it's not something you normally deal with, but again, say a basketball player turns into somebody's elbow, mm-hmm. and how can I how can I tell if someone has a fractured jaw or if it's just that? Because sometimes when you get hit in the jaw, it hurts, like your muscles tighten up and then they won't allow you to open. So what are some things I can look for?
That's right. Well, that's a good question. If their teeth are suddenly not coming together the right way, that could be an indication that there's a fractured jaw. I would say that really the only way it can really be diagnosed is with x-rays. If you suspect that there's a fractured jaw, you should see an oral surgeon as soon as reasonably possible. That's something that has to be treated just right away, but certainly within 24 hours or so, I would say. Yes.
All right. So if you suspect it, then send them.
Yes. Send them to the proper medical authorities and let them take radiographs and other diagnostic tests to determine if, in fact, there is a fractured jaw.
So in that case, would it, again, be best to see an oral surgeon, or would it be best to, if it's 9 o'clock at night, send them to the ER, and then they can have their on-call oral surgeon or something like that?
Yes, that's what I would recommend.
Okay.
Exactly.
What is the worst thing for teeth that people eat or drink?
That's a great question. A lot of things that people eat and drink that they don't even realize are very acidic. And the acid exposure over time can literally dissolve the tooth structure. The worst thing these days are these energy drinks that I imagine a lot of you all probably drink. I know a lot of younger people, it seems like, consume these things. They are highly acidic. And so that is what I would say one of the worst things. Sports drinks as well, they're right up there with the energy drinks. Colas, sodas, whether they're diet or sugar, they're both acidic. It's just has to do with the duration of consuming these beverages, the frequency, that sort of thing, that they can be very harmful to the teeth. I'm starting to see a lot of that more and more in my practice with the younger age groups, and I do attribute it to the sports and energy drinks. So my recommendation is either don't consume those at all. That's the best thing. If you have to, then I would try to immediately neutralize the acid by rinsing my mouth with water after the sports or energy drink. And don't immediately brush your teeth afterwards, because you've already softened the tooth structure, then you're just going to further wear away the tooth structure by brushing immediately. So avoid those sports and energy drinks. That's my recommendation. I personally feel that the sports drinks are really not necessary for people these days in athletic events. I think just plain water is really all you need. I know the sports companies do a great job of marketing, and they can just think that, we just have to have those. I understand that one of the main things in those sports drinks that they replenish is potassium, but I just don't think people have lower levels of potassium where they really need to consume those during athletic activity.
All right, so two things on that. One, if I make Gatorade at a baseball game, the most of the people drinking that are the ones that are sitting on the bench not playing.
Yeah.
Right? So it's the same thing with a basketball game. So I completely agree with you. For the most part, 90% of the people that drink Gatorade or sports drinks don't need it. They're drinking it because they don't want to drink water, mm-hmm. and they think it's better than drinking Coke when it's really just about the same.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And so I agree with you there that for the most part it's not needed. But on that same thing, what if I drink some fresh squeezed orange juice with my breakfast, and then I go brush my teeth before coming to work? Because you just said the acidic things. Is that orange juice different? Because it is acidic.
That's right.
So is it any different than a Coke or an energy drink?
No, it's not. It's around the same pH, so not much different, no. So there again, yeah, neutralize with water. Try to wait. Don't immediately brush your teeth after consuming any acidic beverage or food.
Interesting. What?
I did that today.
Orange juice and then brushed?
Yeah.
Well, how long? Oh, sorry, George. Go.
Well, last time, like, my car didn't start. And then my dad told me to pour Coke on the battery because it was a battery. And it cleaned it all off. And then I was like, what would happen to Coke in my stomach because how it cleaned it all off?
That's exactly right. That shows you the acidity level of soda. I think battery acid is a pH of 1. And lemon juice is around 2. And then the sports energy drinks and colas are in the 2 to 3 range. So, that's a good point. It shows you what the high acidity level is of Cokes and sodas.
So next time, like, I have a dead battery, would sports drinks help better?
I suppose that could work as well, yeah.
Just pour a Red Bull on it.
Should do the same thing. Although I'm not sure, maybe the carbonation that also helps.
Maybe.
Yeah. We've all heard that and tried it, I'm sure.
I think they actually did a Mythbusters on it, but...
Oh, did they?
I can't remember the outcome, so...
But it actually worked. The car's still running.
Mm-hmm. Never know. Emerson, did you have something?
Oh, how long do you have to wait before you brush your teeth?
To wait when?
Like after you drink a sports drink or something like that, how long do you have to wait?
We think about 30 minutes would be enough time for the acid that you've consumed to neutralize in the mouth. Yeah. So ideally 30 minutes. Yeah.
Okay. How effective are athletic mouthpieces at protecting teeth and gums?
Very effective. Very effective. Highly recommend athletic mouth guards for any athletic activity that involves contact or the potential for contact. I believe that in football, where mouth guards are mandatory, the number of injuries per year involving the teeth or the oral cavity are less than 0.1%. Whereas in basketball, where I believe it's more optional, it's estimated that about 34% of all injuries involve the teeth or the soft tissue of the oral cavity. So very effective. So highly recommend the mouth guards. And maybe we could talk about custom mouth guards versus kind of what we call boil and bite type. We feel that the custom-made mouth guard that's made off of a custom-made for the patient, for the individual, from a model of their teeth, is by far the best. It's going to be much more comfortable. It's going to stay in place, provide a higher level of protection for the teeth and the gums, still allow the user to be able to speak. It's not going to interfere with breathing. And be more effective at protecting the teeth and the gum. We feel like the boil and bite just sort of give a false sense of security. They tend to be rather uncomfortable. They don't stay in place. So that for that reason, they may not be utilized as often as they should. Yes, use an athletic mouth guard. Any sport that involves the potential for contact.
All right, so the boil and bite, they cost probably, I don't know, 50 cents, 25 cents when you buy them in bulk. How much does a custom-made one?
That's a good question. Let's see. I would say probably between maybe $75 and $200, something in that range, which may sound like a lot, and I guess it is, but when you consider the cost of replacing one tooth, which can be, several thousand dollars, many, many times the cost of that custom-made mouth guard. So still, I think it's well worth the investment in the protection of the teeth.
All right, so I haven't seen a custom-made mouth guard, but I know that there's the night guards. They're like a hard plastic that's molded to your teeth. Is that what the custom-made ones are? Because these kids, they'll get the cheap ones that we have, and they'll chew them. You know, they'll sit there during practice and chew them and chew them and chew them. And so I'm wondering, is that if they paid $100 for a mouthpiece, are they going to just chew that up in 2 weeks and then have to go get another one?
No, absolutely not. The custom-made is going to be a lot thicker. And in fact, we have different thicknesses depending on the sport in which it's used. Obviously, if it's a sport, say involving definite contact to the head, say boxing, kickboxing, something like that, you know, you need the highest level of protection. A very thick amount of protection there. Other sports where you know, there's the potential, but not necessarily constant contact, then not quite as thick. But nevertheless, they're still going to be much much thicker, much stronger, and much more longer lasting. You're not going to really be able to chew through it. They are a denser material. It is a softer material, so we obviously can withstand the injury, the blow, have some give to it. No, we would expect a custom-made mouth guard to last, several seasons.
All right, we have a question from Twitter.
Sarah Jackson asked, does drinking through a straw really help to limit exposure of sugars and avoid tooth teeth?
That's a good question. Yes, it would, I think, help to limit exposure to the front teeth. I can see where it still could create exposure to the inside or the surfaces that are next to, particularly the roof of the mouth in the back of the teeth. So I wouldn't count on that as just being, a way to get around the acid exposure.
So what if, like you use a straw and, do it farther?
You'll have to try that and tell me.
Because my mom drinks with a straw, and she does it in front of her teeth.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, Mom, there's no point in that.
And there's right.
Dr. McGrath, what made you want to be a dentist?
Well, I always enjoyed science, biology, anatomy. How the human body worked, I always like to work with my hands as well, and dentistry provided me the opportunity to do that. I also like the ability to work for myself, and I've been fortunate to be able to do that for, as I said, 34 years now. So I just sort of fell into dentistry that way. I guess I sort of went to the healthcare into the healthcare field. I didn't really want to be a physician. Back when I was in college, I had the idea that all physicians worked in hospitals, and I didn't really like hospitals too much. Dentistry has been a great profession. I haven't regretted it for a moment. I still enjoy what I do. I enjoy my patients and helping them and visiting with them, and it's just been wonderful. I'm so glad that I went into dentistry. It's truly a great profession for anybody.
All right, so you working for yourself, you're like the team leader or the team captain there at Fairmont Dental Care. And I know every time I go there, everyone seems to have a positive attitude. They're very helpful. They seem like they enjoy working there. What do you feel like some of the things that you do to build a good team atmosphere within your medical facility?
Well, first and foremost, we have the philosophy, put the patient first. Treat the patient as if how we would want to be treated. We make every effort to establish good relationships with our patients. We want to establish long-term relationships, but that's what in most dental practices that's what happens. We see patients for many, many years. It begins with that. Just have the philosophy of doing our very best for our patients at every time, all the time. Want to make coming to the dentist not an ordeal. We want them to be comfortable and relaxed at the office. We want to encourage them to maintain their teeth and their oral hygiene. We do try to maintain a very positive attitude. I think we have a great staff there. They certainly make my job a lot easier. We've just tried to do that, basically.
I know one thing that is really cool is that, like I said, Jonah, he's almost four. He goes there and they have toys or something in one of the rooms so that he can sit in there while Sarah gets their teeth cleaned and not be... He's a very busy kid, so if you don't have something for him to do, he's going to be opening every drawer. He's probably going to be drilling holes in Sarah's leg with the tool while she's getting teeth cleaned. I think that's one of the cool things. As a parent, it changes everything. Whenever I go to my financial planner, well, they have little Legos in the corner, which I wouldn't have noticed, 4 years ago, but now it's a huge help. So, just the small thing, thinking about the small things. And, there's no money being exchanged and he's not giving me free dental service for this. But I think that Fairmont Dental, y'all do a really good job of taking care of the patient or the customer. And so thank you for that.
Well, thank you. You're very welcome. And it's something that we really enjoy doing that for the patients. And we wouldn't have it any other way. We think that's the best way to treat patients. So we do everything that we can to make them as comfortable, as relaxed, provide all sort of extra services for them, and just wouldn't have it any other way. It's the way that, for me, it's the way to practice, and I've been blessed with a number of just wonderful, wonderful patients that I've had the pleasure of treating for, as I said, many, many years.
Much of Hollywood seems to be going with veneers as far as their smiles go. How expensive is it to have that procedure done?
It's not inexpensive. To place veneers on, all the upper front teeth that basically show when smiling would be anywhere from probably $8,000 to $12,000 to or more. So it's not an inexpensive procedure, certainly, but it can make amazing results. And you're right, I've noticed that most of the celebrities, or a fair number of anyway, do look like they've had veneers placed on their teeth.
Mm-hmm. I mean, is that a one-time deal, or is that, you have to do it, you have to come to the office once a week for 6 weeks, or...?
They can be placed in as few as two visits, actually. Oftentimes, there may be another visit or two in there. But the teeth are initially prepared for the veneers. They may require some slight reduction on the outer surface. Then the veneers are fabricated in a lab. And then 2 to 3 weeks later, they would be... placed onto the teeth. They're actually bonded, a procedure where they're micro-mechanically attached to the tooth structure underneath.
Could it be used for an individual who may suffer from cleft palate?
Could porcelain veneers be and is it talking about like a spaces between the teeth that would be caused by that? Yes, they could. Yeah, If we could, veneers can be used to correct all sort of aesthetic challenges, shall we say, with the front teeth. If there are spaces between the teeth, if the teeth are chipped or worn on the edges, if they're somewhat crowded or rotated, if they're just mal-shaped, all of those problems can be corrected by the placement of porcelain veneers. So you totally change the way the front teeth look.
I do have a question. Right after I get my teeth clean, I walk out of your office, and then there's those cookies sitting right there. So we're talking about, you know, not eating those things or not brushing teeth right after those things. So tell me why.
Well, it doesn't seem.
I can't just walk past them.
Doesn't seem to go with coming to the dentist, does it? We're providing some sweets there. We talked about that when we initiated that several years ago. I think what we ultimately just decided was we sure like the way they smell when they're being baked. You can detect that throughout the office. And, you know, I remember as a kid going to the dentist, and it seemed like the dental office always had there was a certain odor to it that was unmistakable. And I remember when I was starting my own practice, I thinking to myself, I never want my office to have that. And patients enjoy it. They usually take them home and then maybe consume them later. Of course, we usually have a few of them during the day as well. Try to avoid having too many of them. Yeah, it's gone over pretty well. Doesn't seem to, I know, go with coming to the dentist. I'm not against people consuming sweets. I do it myself, as I said. So I just think it's just something kind of nice, and patients can choose to get them or not. That's obviously up to them.
All right. Fair enough.
How can someone find out more about Fairmont Dental Care?
Well, you can go online. We have a website. It is fairmontdentalcare.com. And the office phone number is 281-487-1486. And those are your two ways to find out more. Now, online, I think we have quite a bit of information about our practice, about our staff, about the procedures that we offer. And so I encourage you to go online and check us out.
All right, George, any more Twitter questions? Not as of now.
I have a question.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, what about for kids whenever you're trying to clean their teeth or something? How do you deal with that?
We just do the very best we can. when they're real young, of course, it's difficult to get them to cooperate. So we never push them. We just do what they allow us to do. We want to establish a dental home, a good relationship with the patient. We don't want them to have a negative experience where they don't want to come back to the dentist. We just do what they allow us to do when at a very young age, when they're, say, 2.5 to 4 years old. Once they get to be about 4, then most kids do very, very well coming to see us and have their teeth cleaned. At that point, they've got, you know, a certain level of maturity enough to at least be able to cooperate, where they'll lay in the chair for us and open their mouth and let us, you know, basically do what we need to do. So.
Yeah, because my sister, she's 9, and she's, like, terrified of the dentist.
Is she?
She got, like, the silver tooth when she was, like, 5, and they had to strap her down.
Yeah.
And now she hates the dentist.
Exactly, and I always hate hearing those stories, and like I said, we do everything we can to try to avoid ever creating a negative experience like that for a child, because you're exactly right. It's something that child will usually never forgets, and it becomes very difficult to reestablish a good relationship with the patient, where they have trust and with us and all. So, unfortunately, it does still happen, and just have to do the best to overcome that, of course. But the main thing we try to do is avoid having that occur.
All right. So at this point, we're actually going to close it out. Jocelyn will start us, and then you guys don't move, because Dr. McGrath actually brought something for you from his office. So go ahead, Jocelyn.
We want to thank the people who helped make this broadcast possible: GHAS for sponsoring CEU opportunities, and BISD Education Foundation.
Also, I was showing Dr. McGrath our 80 mannequins that you guys blew up yesterday, and Pasadena a health clinic CEO John Schweitzer has done a lot to help get that working, get that moving. So I just want to thank him. And also, I know that there is one of my friends, coworkers, Adam Kokinsey, told me he listens to the podcast while he's doing work, and you know, just picking up little tidbits here and there. So I'll give a shout out to Adam. If you want to check us out, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com, almost every Wednesday, and then some Fridays we're live podcasting, or you can just download it there. You can look at it, check it out on iTunes, rate it there, or most of your podcast streaming services, you can check it out there. So again, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com, and you can communicate with us through,
follow us on Twitter at PHS Sports Med, Google Plus Sports Medicine Broadcast, and facebook.com/PHS Athletic Training.
So for Jeremy,
George,
Marlon,
Edith,
Brianna,
Jocelyn,
Marissa,
Lorena,
and
Dr. Mark McGrath,
that's a wrap.